Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Attention, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset. With your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a really special episode. It is the 100th episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. So firstly, I want to say a massive thank you to anybody that's listening right now, and anyone who's been listening since day one or came on last week or last month. It's just been an incredible experience. The podcast has been one of my favorite things that I've done in fitness in my business that I've done over the last, you know, 3-4 years. So I'm so excited to continue this journey with everybody that's been listening. So for today's episode, I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I started the podcast about a year ago. It started at one episode a week, and then we moved up to 2 episodes a week because of demand and the amount of questions that were coming in. So today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to talk on the top 6 things that I've learned since I've started the podcast. So for anyone that's out there that's been listening, hopefully you get a lot of value in this in terms of fitness, in terms of mindset, in terms of business, just the things that have changed for me over the last year. Like they say, and one of my favorite quotes from Darwin is that if you don't go through a year giving up one of your best loved ideas, it's been a year wasted. That's kind of how I feel with a lot of my opinions that I'm going to share in today's episode. Having had different guests on the podcast, having covered different topics, having brought out a best-selling book, and seeing my brand and business kind of level up over the last few months and the last year in particular, I've changed my mind on a lot of things, and I've been a lot more open to new ideas that I'm hopefully going to share in the podcast today that will provide a lot of value to anybody listening, and it'll be a little bit of a different one today, so hope you enjoy. Okay, so the first thing that I've learned is that everything that we hear is an opinion and everything we see is a perspective. So for those of you who've been following the podcast since day one, again, it was crazy to think back the very first episode I recorded, not dissimilar to how it is now, but I remember having my iPad locked up, and I was just speaking into the bottom of it, didn't have any video, the sound quality was terrible, it took me like 10 takes to do it, and all these different things that I was able to learn as I moved on from. But the truth is, the biggest change for me over the last year has been through bringing on different guests and hearing different questions that come in and expanding out my social media and my business, is that everything we hear is an opinion and a perspective. And if you've been listening for a while, and if you've read my book, The Fitness Mindset, I put the Marcus Aurelius quote in there that is effectively that everything we hear in life is an opinion and everything we see is a perspective of that moment in time. And I've really came around to that in the last year. So for those of you following me before that, I was a bit more dogmatic in terms of my approach to ideas. I was a lot more attached to certain ideas, like you shouldn't have any processed foods, you shouldn't have your cans of Monster, all of these things that I still believe in. I don't think they're optimal, but they definitely have a place in some people's nutritional plans now, for example. And they're two that I use because I was very, very dogmatic on my approach. I was very much, no, this is right and this is wrong. And over the last year, having brought on different guests, having talked to different people, having expanded my own knowledge with the different retreats and seminars and things that I've attended, the different books that I've read, I've really been able to expand my own knowledge that everything is an opinion. Even the hardcore scientists, and I get this because of some of the people in my network, some of the people I talk to that are hardcore on their science side, and they're like, no, there is no other way. And I remember I was like that for a long period in time. And the truth is, I'm a science guy. I will always try and use science to back up my ideas. And I'm the first one to admit when my evidence is anecdotal and it's an experience of that I've had or I've had with clients, as opposed to having any science to back it up. But what can happen sometimes, particularly in the science community, is we get so attached to the idea of the science that it's like, no, the test says this and the experiment says this, not realizing that in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, there may be a new experiment that changes that. We grew up in an age that I remember in our household at home, we had Flora butter and all these shitty margarines as opposed to having real butter because we thought they were healthier. We thought they were better. We were having cornflakes for our breakfast cereal. We were having Special K. We were having all of these different cereals because they were quote unquote healthy. And back then the science said that it was healthy to have these foods. Well, now we know that it's not healthy. There was a time when saturated fat was completely demonized and we were said, well, that's the worst thing you can take. It builds up your cholesterol, the bad cholesterol in your body. It gives you heart disease. And there's all these different problems that you'll get with it. And now we know that the most up-to-date science is that saturated fat actually isn't bad. Cholesterol isn't bad. It's when it's in combination with sugar and the increased inflammatory state that sugar can put you in, that's when saturated fat can be dangerous. So the science changes. And I've learned that having had conversations with certain people that are very much on, no, you're wrong. There is no way around this. This is the science, hardcore science right now, not realizing that it changes. I put in my book that we once thought the world was flat. And there was a time when we knew that the world was flat until Aristotle showed that the way the moon shined on the world and its spherical illusion that came back, that it was probably round. But we knew it was flat. So things change, ideas change, opinions change. And over the last year, I've really stopped myself getting attached to any idea. With the exception of the laws of physics, I'm not going to jump out of a building. And I'm aware of the Newtonian laws of that an object in motion will stay in motion until stopped by an external force. An object at rest will stay at rest until moved by an external force. And that works for everything we do in our life. And you can take those laws of physics. They're pretty much granted. If you jump out of a building, gravity is going to work against you. But everything else is an opinion. People, what they say about you, what they say about nutrition, what they say about training, it changes, it evolves, it moves forward. And all science is testing hypotheses of what's the most relevant data right now. And it's the same with opinions, but we let people's opinions dictate the entire direction of our life. Like, I love the Les Brown quote that somebody's opinion of you doesn't have to become your reality. But we take in people's opinions that they say we can't do something, they say that our ideas are stupid, they say that we shouldn't do it or that we can't do it, and we let that opinion dictate the direction we take our lives. I've spoken on the podcast a lot over the last year on the resistance I got from family and friends when I made the jump from working full-time as a primary school teacher 4 years ago to moving into a fitness business. And with the exception of my mom, who's always been my biggest fan, I had a lot of resistance from family and friends telling me, I literally had one family member call me stupid and call me an idiot for leaving a quite quote-unquote good job to go into fitness where there was no money to be made. And the irony of it is now I make more money than I ever made when I was teaching, and I would do what I would do for free. When I woke up every single morning consistently realizing that if I won $1 billion or I won the Euro Millions or I won the lotto, I would still keep doing what I'm doing now. For me, that's my version of success. But if I had taken the opinions of family members and friends, I never would have did this. There would never have been a podcast. There never would have been a book. I got the support from my mom, and I was very, very fortunate to get that. And I'm aware that some people don't even have that network. But you can't go through your whole life letting people's opinion dictate the direction that you take your life, because opinions change. I had those same family members when the book hit the bestseller list. It sold thousands and thousands and thousands of copies. And when it hit the bestseller list, I had the same family members going, oh, I'm proud of you. I knew you were going to make it. And the truth is, I was like, I called a couple of them. I was like, look, you didn't. I remember when you told me that I was stupid for leaving this. And people are, no, I never said that, because they convinced themselves that, no, I always knew that. It's the hindsight bias. It's a cognitive bias in our brain that we have a hindsight bias. We're like, no, I knew you were going to make it. It's the same as the people that are sitting on a couch after a football match or after a hurling game or after a soccer match or a rugby game. And they're like, I knew we were going to win, or I knew we were going to lose. Like, you didn't. That's your hindsight bias, cognitive bias kicking in. But you have to be aware that everything is an opinion. Everything is a perspective. The nutrition that we eat, the diets we follow, the training plans, what direction we should take our lives are all opinions and perspectives. And when you start attaching yourself to an idea and you get so dogmatic in your approach that, no, this is the only way. And I love the Charlie Munger quote, to the man with a hammer, the whole world looks like a nail. And if all you have is a hammer in your tool belt, the whole world's going to look like your nail. Sometimes you need to use a screw. Sometimes you need to use some other form of tool to get to where you want to get. But understanding that everything is an opinion, everything is a perspective in this moment in time. And when you're not attached to any idea and you're not attached to any negative comments or positive comments or things that are put in your direction, you're going to be so much happier as a result. And over the last year, I've really been able to pull myself back from having any dogmatic ideas, because the truth is, it's not the things we don't know that kill us, it's the things we know that just ain't so. And I've learned that over the last year, taking myself away from any ideas I have on training or nutrition or fitness or business or mindset, and being open to everything, allows me to learn more. You know, Bruce Lee says that a cup's usefulness is in its emptiness, and your brain is the same way, your mind is the same way. If you're going in there trying to have all your preconceived ideas before you even open the conversation with somebody, you're not going to be able to learn anything from that. You know, it's not, they say, and Darwin said this, and it's one of my favorite quotes as well, is that it's not learning the new ideas that's hard, it's letting go of the old ones. So that's something that I've had to do over the last year, and it's very much supported me, and hopefully what I've said here will land with a couple of you and you'll take a lot of value from that. Okay, the next thing that I've learned is you can learn from everybody and everything, even the worst people and the worst things. The truth is, there was a time in my life that I was very dogmatic on don't read the news, don't read papers, that it's all garbage, cognitive bias, pulling on your fear factor strings or pulling on your fear strings of the fact that we are wired as a species to see negative things in the world and it will catch your attention. Like, the news is an acronym for noteworthy events, weather and sports. There's a reason that the noteworthy events are all car crashes, terrorist attacks, all these things that are going wrong in the world. And then we have in our brain, it's an availability bias, which is again another one of the cognitive biases, that we pull information to the forefront of our mind and the forefront of our brain faster when it's more available. And when we put into our mind these negative things like newspapers and watching the news, where all we can see is the bad things that are going on in the world, we pull that availability and we think that that's the way the world is. When the truth is, there's loads and thousands of great people doing great things, but they don't catch your attention. We're wired as a species to evolutionary psychology to focus on the things that may cause us harm. It's the reason that you drive by a car crash and you can't take your eyes off it. We're wired as a species in our genome, in our DNA, to be able to see the negative things, because that kept you alive thousands of years ago. If you saw something rustling in the grass and you didn't avoid it, and it was a saber-toothed tiger, you were eaten. So you didn't pass on your genes, so you weren't able to procreate. And as a result, you're not going to be able to pass on any genes, have any children. And then that part of your brain gets wired off, where the people that were cautious and that saw that maybe this might be a saber-toothed tiger were able to survive on the cases when it was, they passed on their genes, and as a result, we're descendants of those people. So now when we look in negative things in the world and we see the news, all we see is the negative things that are there. There was a time when I thought that everybody should cut that out, and I still largely believe the majority of people will benefit way more from not watching the news and not taking in that availability bias of all the bad things that's going on in the world, because what you put into your mind, the thoughts you put into your head, will dictate the way you see the world. And the way you see the world is all down to you. The prisons and the things that you put into your own mind are your choice. So if you see the world a certain way, that's down to the information that you've consumed and the people that you've followed, the books that you've read. And when you take ownership of something like that, you can change it. So if you see the world in a negative way, you can take full control of what you put into your mind, what you're watching, what you're viewing, and who you're hanging around with. As I said, there was a time when I thought that everybody should cut that. I've since moved away, and the truth is, it's somewhere in the middle. I buy the Sunday Business Post every single Sunday. I read the news to see what's going on in the economy, because it affects obviously stocks and real estate, which is an area that I'm very interested in. And the truth is, when you can bypass a lot of the crappy media, like your daily tabloids that have no real news, there are arguments for consuming some noteworthy events that are going on in the world. It does help to know what's going on in the economy if you have an investment in real estate or stocks. It does help if you have your own business because you need to know what kind of money's flowing into the economy. So I have changed my mind on that over the last year. And I've also changed my mind on the miserable people that we all meet and tend to see every single day. There was a time when I used to walk into one of my gyms and there was some miserable people that hated their life every morning. They were complaining about their wives, they were complaining about their kids. And I remember it bringing me down, listening to their conversations and even being in the energy and the aura that they had in the room because it was toxic. But now it gives me an amazing contrast for how I don't want to see the world and how I don't want to live my life. When you're talking to people who are moaning and complaining and giving about everything, they're giving out about their wife, they're giving out about their kids, they're giving out about their job, they're giving out about their boss, you can use that as a way that you don't want to see the world. I love the Abe Lincoln quote that you can learn from everybody you meet, even if it's what not to do. And that's how I feel now when I have conversations with people who are the victim mentality. They're constantly, oh, it's all happening to me. The world is happening to me. My life is terrible. Play the world's smallest violin for me. Now when I see those people and hear those conversations, it gives me an amazing contrast for how I want to be on the opposite side. There was once upon a time when I completely removed myself from it. And to a large extent, a lot of people that are listening to this that are in that network or in that environment, removing yourself from it is going to be absolutely key in the beginning. However, after a certain point when you reintroduce it and you've strengthened your mindset to reading different books, to listening to different podcasts, to consuming different information, and you've strengthened your mindset, one of the reasons that I put a mindset section in my book was down to trying to see the world in such a way that you were bulletproof in your mind and then you could, your fitness looked after itself. When you aren't worrying what other people were thinking about you, when you aren't getting stressed out, when you aren't dealing with anxiety, when you aren't worried about all these comparison being the thief of joy issues that can come with life, your fitness looks after itself. It was one of the reasons the book probably hit the bestseller list and stayed there for 8 weeks was down to the fact that I covered that area and then I covered the fitness side, everything you need to do to get into amazing shape. But my own view of the world over the last year has largely changed. And again, everything is how you see it. Nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And I've chosen to see the people that are quote unquote miserable or don't like their lives or are playing the victim as a positive thing because it gives you a reference point to how not to live your life. And over the last year, the news, media, people that think that way and feel that way about the world, I've largely changed my mind because they're giving me so much more and they're strengthening the way that I want to see the world because they're giving me a reference point for exactly how I don't want to see it. So it is advice that is very much depending on where you are in your life, how to apply it. I think there's nothing better than detoxing or disconnecting or unplugging from that environment as much as you possibly can in the beginning. And when you strengthen your mindset out the other side and it's not negatively affecting you anymore, then you can consume certain amounts of it. By all means, I'm not going to spend 10 hours a day hanging around with those people, but for the 15 minutes engagement that I may have with certain people like that in life, it gives me such a strong reference point out the other side, and that's just choosing to see it that way. And that's another thing that I've largely changed my mind about over the last year, particularly since I started the podcast. Okay, the next one is a little bit of a shorter one that if you don't ask, you don't get. And this is something the podcast has taught me because I remember when I started off first, I used to follow people like Jamie Alderton, Bing Coomer, Phil Graham, a lot of the people that I had on my, that had their own successful podcasts. And I remember thinking, well, I just want to be up there with them. I was like, I'd love to get my podcast that people knew who I was and that I was helping and serving more people because I was able to communicate with them directly. And that was kind of my intention when I started the podcast first. A lot of my life's philosophy is I see everything as an experiment, and the podcast was an experiment to start. I try and change things up and I double down on the things that work and I cut the things that don't. And the podcast was just basically an experiment to see could I help and provide more value to people in a longer form content. I was doing a lot of Snapchats, I was doing some Instagram, I was doing some videos that I still do. I just added the podcast to it. But I wanted to see, was there something that was longer form that people could listen to in the morning or listen to in their workouts that would provide more value? And I remember listening to people like Jamie and Ben and Phil when I started, and thinking that I would love that if my podcast could help people like theirs did. Now, I don't listen to them religiously. I listen to a lot of business podcasts, investing podcasts, because that's where my life is in the direction right now. But I remember consuming their podcast 3-4 years ago, before I'd even come back to Ireland, and wanting to help and serve more people as a result. And when I started first, I was a little bit afraid to even ask them to come on. And they came on as guests. Phil Graham has been on as a guest. Jamie Alderton has been on. Ben Coomer. I've had other guests that have been tremendous, but not necessarily having their own podcasts. And I got over that fear that I'm like, I'm just going to ask them. I was like, I have nothing to lose by asking Phil to come on. I have nothing to lose by asking Jamie or asking Ben to come on as a guest. And lo and behold, they did. Like, the truth is, the worst people can say is no. And over the last year, that has transcended into all areas of my life, that there's nothing that is going to happen in a bad way if you ask somebody. And this goes for all areas of life. This goes for the hot girl that you fancy or the hot guy that you fancy. Though, if you go and ask them out for coffee and you do it the right way, the worst case scenario is they say no. And not only will they say no, you now have an answer that you know it's probably not worth your energy to pursue that relationship or pursue that network or continue to pursue that person. So you have a feedback and you can move on. But the what if, like, I live a lot of my life by the philosophy that I don't want to go to the grave with all my best ideas inside me. And I live by the Keith Cunningham quote that, when the biggest tragedy in life is meeting the person you could have become. And a lot of that comes down to being afraid to ask for things. And when you don't ask, you don't get. So whatever it is in your life, whether it's starting a podcast, starting a business, asking somebody out, moving jobs, just getting a friendship with somebody, if you don't ask, you don't get. And a lot of it came down to the fact that I realized that when I started asking people for things or providing value to them up front and then getting things as a result, and that's largely what happens. Like, I love the book by Keith Ferrazzi, Never Eat Alone, and he talks about leading with generosity, that you should always try and provide value to people up front. And what I did with the podcast was I tried to build up a certain number, and then when Ben and Jamie and Phil had a book coming out or they had an appearance coming up, I was like, okay, we'll mention that on the podcast. So you're providing value up front to people. It's leading with generosity. It's something that happens to me a lot now, where people will come to me and they're like, okay, will you give me this or do that? And when you don't lead with generosity, you don't really get a lot of things. So my advice would be, combine if you don't ask, you don't get, with leading with generosity and providing value up front to the other person. Because I know myself, the people that, I remember I did a podcast a while back with Andrew, who was a friend of mine, but he messaged and he was like, look, I'm just starting a podcast. Can you please come on the guest? I'm going to push out a load of videos with it. I'm going to get a professional guy to edit them so they look brilliant and we've got content. And when your book comes out, I'm going to buy a load of copies of your book. And I got on. I was like, yeah, perfect. Sounds amazing. Podcast went number one. He went above my podcast for a week in Ireland in the iTunes. And we had an amazing interview. He released a load of YouTube videos. He got one of my favorite YouTubers, Pascal Pasquiel, who does some of the motivational videos on YouTube. He got him to edit them so that we were releasing content. And then when the book came out, he bought a load of copies and gave them to his friends. It's leading with generosity. And when you are able to do that and you can achieve amazing things and you can do the things that you never thought possible, when you provide value up front to the other person and you ask them, because it all comes with ask. Like Gary Vaynerchuk says, jab, 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 right hook. Give, 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 ask. And that's how I come into a lot of relationships with people now, where I try and provide value up front. And the truth is, if you ever need to ask them for a favor, most people are more than happy to give it back. And I'm the first one, because I've done it on the other side of it. So if you don't ask, you don't get. And that's something the podcast has really taught me, because there was a barrier between me and some of the people I brought on when I started, or my own created barrier of limitation. And I was like, oh, I don't know, will these guys come on my podcast? And the truth was, when I was able to provide value up front and I was able to lead with generosity, and then I was able to ask them, I was able to bring them on. And that's something that I'll continue to do in the future for some other big guests that I've got coming up over the next year. So that's something that I've massively learned over the last year too. Okay, the next one is, I found out that I absolutely love answering questions. It's funny, because people will ask me regularly, they're like, do you mind answering all these questions? Because I do Q&As on Snapchat, I do videos on Facebook and Instagram, I do the podcast Q&As. I love answering questions. My favorite part when I speak or do seminars, or my favorite part of my day in general, is when I open up my Snapchat for a Q&A. So BrianK019 is my Snapchat. I love answering questions. The truth is, when you're have a lot of knowledge on your topic, and I stay in my space, like I'm very aware that I'm smart in spaces and I stay in those spaces because it's where my natural curiosity is, and I've cultivated my curiosity in fitness and nutrition and training and mindset because that's where my area of interest is. And I love living by the mantra that your mess becomes your message, and a lot of the Q&As is trying to help other people with areas that I've been in. And I love doing that. If you're somebody that's very, very good at what you do and you love what you do and you love your topic, answering questions is one of the best ways to provide value back to people. I could sit here and make up all the questions in the world or all the topics in the world, but it may not be what people want to listen to. But when you ask a question, normally when one person asks that question, 10 others or 20 others or 100 others were thinking it. So it's something that I've been very, very fortunate to do. And one of the reasons that I've been lucky enough to scale my business and scale my brand and have all the things that I have now is down to loving the process and not worried about the destination as opposed to loving the journey. Like the Buddha quote is that how are you going to be happy at a destination if you don't love the journey? And right now I feel so fortunate in my life and my business, the podcast, everything that I do, that it's the process that I love. Everything else is a bonus. Making a good living and earning a lot of money is a great bonus, and don't get me wrong, earning money and doing well is very important to me, but it's my number two. My number one has always been I want the world to be better because I was here, and my money is my number two. But answering questions and loving the process, and one of the reasons that I get so much energy doing my Q&As and doing podcasts and that I'm able to put out so much content is the fact that I love doing it. So my advice to anybody else is when you're trying to get on your path, and if you're somebody that's basically, it doesn't matter what it is, whether you want to start your own business, whether you want to go into personal training, whether you want to just have a happier life, find the things that you love to do, because when you love the process, the results come, the money comes, the people come, the opportunities come. But if you don't love the process, you're going to quit. When you love what you do, you are going to be one of the best at it. So my advice would be to anybody, for me, it's answering questions. I absolutely love it. It's my favorite part of the day when I open up my Snapchat for a Q&A. And my Snapchat's probably my favorite because I can be a lot more expansive on Snapchat, because obviously people come in and they don't have their real names in certain cases, and you can ask any questions. So I get everything from how to deal with a breakup to how to improve your sex life to how to get your glutes to fire to how to eat to lose body fat on my Snapchat. It's why it's probably grown to 12, 13, 14,000, whatever's on it now, as a result of the amount of diversity that's on there because of its medium and the fact that I love answering the questions. So what I would advise anybody do is in all areas of your life, your fitness, your training, your nutrition, your job, your relationships, love the process, because if you don't love the journey, you're not going to love the destination. Okay, the next one is that the law of reciprocity is alive and well. When I started the podcast first, and I've done lots of different episodes, I've had guests on, I've done Q&As, I've done topics, I've done lives, I've done a little bit of everything to experiment and see what people like the most and what can provide the most value. But the truth is, when I started, I believed in the law of reciprocity, which is effectively that if you help people get what they want, you'll get everything that you want. And the podcast has really cemented that with me. The fact that the book hit the bestseller list within 24 hours on Amazon, and it was right up there with Harry Potter on the Amazon store the week it came out, which absolutely blew my mind. I remember getting very, very emotional even on one of my Facebook Lives because it was just surreal. Because people say, can't wait for your book to come out. And a lot of people were telling me, can't wait for it to come out. But you kind of just take it as hearsay until it hit the bestseller list. And it stayed there for eight weeks. And then it went into stores and it hit the bestseller list in stores. And it literally just, for me, completely suspended all my beliefs of, wow, I'd never thought it would achieve what it achieved. But from the feedback on people and from reading the reviews, it's got over 310 five-star reviews on Amazon. It's the law of reciprocity. I had so many people message and go, look, you've helped me so much with your questions, with your videos, with your podcasts, that I had to buy your book. That's how I felt that it cemented the law of reciprocity. And that wasn't my intention. My intention was never to make a podcast that has 70, 80, 90,000 downloads a month. It was never to build up my social media to 60, 70,000 people that I was able to monetize it and make a load of money out of it. Again, it's an amazing bonus that I get to live the life that I live and I make what I make. But it was never that initially. But it comes back to the law of reciprocity always rings true. If you help people get what they want and you provide as much value up front, you'll get everything you want. And the book in combination with the podcast particularly was really cemented that. It blew my mind when I got the notification from Amazon that it hit the bestseller list and it was right up there and right beside Harry Potter the week it came out. And I remember thinking, oh my God. And I had people message going, look, you provided so much value to me, I had to get this. And then they were able to review it and it provided value because that's what I wrote the book for. I wrote the book that I wanted to read. I wrote the book that I thought would help people. The whole mindset section is probably the proudest piece of work that I've done, where I talk anxiety, where I talk worry, where I talk dealing with stress, where I talk through my life lessons, finding your why, creating the right habits. That section of the book is my proudest piece of work. The whole fitness section is brilliant too, from feedback, again, objective feedback from people, but it's down, that's my ideas. It's nutrition, the training, the sleep, the supplements, the stuff that's been in my head for years that I just was able to throw straight out on the paper. The mindset section was what took the book to the next level, because when you combine the two, you were bulletproof in your mind and you were building the body you wanted. And that's what I wanted out of the book. It was to help and serve more people. And as a result, the law of reciprocity comes back financially, monetarily, brand-wise, reputation-wise. Over the last year, I've really, really cemented that the law of reciprocity is alive and well. If you want to help people, you want to get everything you want, help people get what they want. And the last thing that I learned is very much podcast specific, that mindset is probably more important than fitness when it comes to everything. And let me explain on that. When I see my downloads, and the podcast now varies between 70, 80, 90,000 downloads a month, and when I see the numbers on certain episodes, my most downloaded episodes are the ones where I'm talking mindset or talking my life experiences and the things that I've gone through that has helped the most people. So my episodes like how to deal with negativity, my episodes with my life lessons, my episode with the advice I'd offer my 18-year-old self, they were all episodes that how to stop caring what other people think was another one. That's the fourth one. They were four of the most downloaded episodes that moved it to number two in the iTunes chart amongst all the podcasts out there, down to providing value and being vulnerable with people, telling everyone that's listening what I went through, because your mess becomes your message. But I learned that the podcast has really allowed me to expand into the mindset field and psychology of helping more people, because at the end of the day, we know how to get in shape. We know how to lose weight. We eat less food and we exercise more. We eat more real foods. We eat less processed foods. But that's not what stops us. It's the anxiety. It's the stress. It's the mindset. It's the opinions of other people. It's the comparison with other people. It's all of these things that stop us doing the things we want. It stops us getting in shape and staying in shape. It stops us getting the job we want. It stops us getting the relationship we want. It stops us living the life that we dream of. What I've learned over the last year, having seen the numbers of podcasts and the download numbers, that's probably more important for people than ever before. And that's kind of more podcast specific that I learned, because when I started, to be honest, I didn't know how I was going to get over 10 episodes. I was like, right, I can talk about fat loss, I can talk about muscle building. I did a GA episode, I did a habits episode, I did a sleep episode. I'm like, what am I going to do after 10 episodes? But now here we are at 100, because there's so much more. There's so much going on in people's lives that people can relate to in terms of relationships, in terms of anxiety, in terms of stress, in terms of providing value through my own mess and mistakes that I've made, that I've been able to help people shorten their learning curves. And over the last year, and the podcast has very much honed that down on me, that it's about the whole person. It's not about what you eat. It's not about how you train. It's not about the weight you lift. It's part of it, but it's the whole thing. It's the eating the right way, dealing with your anxiety, sleeping better so you can have happier relationships, so that your life feels more fulfilled, so you can do the job you want and you can give it 100%. It all comes together and it all ties together. And probably one of the reasons that the podcast has been so successful, subjectively successful, if you're using numbers and downloads and rankings on iTunes and all the things that come with it, if you're using that as the subjective success measure, the reason it's probably been successful is because of the holistic approach. And that effectively comes down to the questions that are being sent in. That comes down to the people for you that's listening. That comes down for everyone that's following my social media, because everything is off you. Like, and I've spoken about this in podcasts and videos before. If you aren't sending questions, if you aren't listening to the podcast, if you aren't following my social media, there would be no podcast, there would be no book, there wouldn't be any of these things. So these all come down to you. All I'm trying to do is provide value by my own experience and knowledge in the area that I've specialized in. And that's a gift that I'm so fortunate that I get to do every single day. And that comes down to people following and listening and watching. So just to close out this episode, a massive thank you to everybody who's listened, who's rated the podcast, who's told their friends about it. That's literally the thing that warms my heart the most, and I'm going to get a bit soppy on this one because the book does the same thing, is when people tell their friends, or you tell your friends or family members about the podcast, or you tell them about the book. And again, one of the reasons the book hit the bestseller list, probably one of the reasons the podcast has grown exponentially over the last year, has been down to people telling their friends and family about it, down to you telling your friends and family about it. So from the deepest of my heart, thank you so much, because nothing beats, you got to check out Brian's podcast, you got to check out Brian's book, you got to go check out this video, because all I'm trying to do is be a catalyst to help people. And when you send them my way and you send them to check out the podcast and help change their life from some of the messes and mistakes that I've made, that's the biggest feedback I can get. So a massive thank you for that. So that's everything over the last 100 episodes that I've learned. And hopefully you guys got a lot of value from today's episode. Okay, so that's everything from episode 100. For more information on me, or to check out my GA Lean Body program, my Top 50 program, or my new BKF GA Youth program, head over to the website, www.briankeenfitness.com. You can send me an email on there. My Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram is all Brian Keen Fitness. My Snapchat, BrianK019. And a massive thank you to Cullen and Voxonic, who puts together all my podcast episodes. Catch you all soon.